Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Welcome to the Midlife Midsters podcast, your podcast for inspiration on being bold and saying yes to making the most of midlife.
So welcome to our listeners for this episode of the Midlife Midsters podcast. You know, Marianne, you know this already, but I made a sort of momentous decision earlier this week in that after 40 plus years of working life, I've decided to retire, hopefully to dedicate more time to this enterprise and some other enterprises you and I have going. But, you know, making that decision is such a bittersweet thing. It's separating from something I've done for most of my life that's been meaningful to me, and something that I have tremendous gratitude for. And that made me stop and pause and think how lucky I was for so much of my life to be able to do something that meant something to me and that I can walk away from feeling really good about. And that sort of dovetailed with the conversation that you and I wanted to have today, which is about gratitude.
Right. Well, I'm excited for you.
Thanks.
And I know you loved your job and you love your job. And I know that you've done so much good and you're walking away, leaving all the good that you've done. So that's a good piece. They're going to miss you, but I'm going to love that I get to spend more time with you and that we have these adventures and these ideas moving forward. So I'm thankful for that. So I have gratitude for what you're doing and you have gratitude as well for what it gave you. So it's really interesting. I think we'll talk more about kind of how all that interconnects in the world too. So
I guess the question is, what is gratitude and how does one factor that into their day-to-day life? Do you feel that you do that? And if so, how?
Oh, wow. You know, I think there's simplistic views of gratitude. When something happens or things are going well for somebody, they're thankful that that is their moment in time and that's happening for them. That's a simplistic view of it. To me, gratitude is a way of being. It is interwoven in who I am. It's taken years to get there. To me, it's like breathing. It's a rhythm. It's constant. It's stable. It's a part of me and the way I try to live. It's not about the highs or the lows, but it's also about everything in between. And I think that gratitude, the simplistic view of it would be that it's about me. I don't think it's about me. I have gratitude because of every single moment, every single experience, and every single person I've met. Somehow that's all intertwined in this invisible fabric of what my life is. And you and I have spoken about this before. Just to give like an idea of why I think that. We've all had challenges in our lives that we might not be grateful for. Like they were hard. But what we took away from that is something that might be gratitude to somebody else.
Mm.
So I had a hard experience. I've talked about it before with my child. Absolutely horrific. I did not find gratitude in that. I was not thankful of that. But as a nurse and being in a pediatric population, I cannot tell you the amount of parents that have sat in my office. And because of that experience, I was able to have empathy. I was able to have compassion and understanding. And they always said they were so grateful. They had gratitude that they landed in my office. Mm-hmm. And that was our conversation. So I think gratitude is so intertwined. So I might not be grateful for something someday or some experience, but it trickles into the world.
It could benefit.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. The fact that you've had an experience and can act on it and share what you've learned from it can lead to a benefit for someone else. And that's a good thing. That's kind of one of the things I think that makes life so interesting and and something to, you know, from a religious sense, we think about like, thank God for this and thank God for that. But what we really should thank God for is each other.
Right.
Because it's the interconnectedness that keeps us all moving forward.
Yeah.
I totally get that.
How do you look at it?
I have a slightly different perspective in it, and it relates to this notion of privilege. Mm-hmm. And I think, and I guess so for me, it's a little more, maybe a little more of a personal thing, but, you know, privilege has become sort of a dirty word or a trigger word in our culture. And I think it's because on the one hand, people use it to point at someone else and say, well, you're so privileged, you don't understand. And on the other hand, people who are privileged don't want to be labeled as such because the perception is that if you acknowledge your privilege, you somehow have to be guilty about it. I think I'm very privileged. I think I've lived a very privileged life. Mm-hmm. I've traveled extensively. I've never had hunger. I've always had everything I needed. I've had a good education. I have a good marriage, healthy children. I think that's a very privileged life. And I think that what privilege inspires in me is not guilt, but gratitude. And that gratitude, it's sort of the flip side of what you were saying, when something that you've learned from your negative experiences is benefit to someone else. What I've learned from my positive experiences is to try to be of benefit to someone else. Not because I'm guilty, mm-hmm. not because I'm ashamed, but because I want to share
right.
that with other people.
Right. And so it is the highs and the lows and everything in between. So I don't think gratitude just comes from where I've experienced bad things by any means. It's by the good things too. It is being. I see gratitude as love. Mm-hmm. I see gratitude as something that if we can live it, just live it, we're giving it. People, it's an energy.
I think that the connection to love is actually interesting that you just said that. And I want to pause on that for a second because sure. I think that's very insightful. Love is one of those things. It's both a verb and a noun.
Correct.
And I think gratitude is as well. It's something that you have. So in that sense, it's a noun, but it's also something that you can live and reflect in the way you go about your life. And in that sense, it's a verb. It's active.
True. Well, we've kind of defined what we think gratitude is. For our listeners, do you have any thoughts on how you're inspired to have gratitude, or do you do any mindfulness or gratitude journals, anything like that?
You know, it's funny. It's one of those things I think that comes out only when one is under stress, which is unfortunate. I think it would be a good idea for me and for many people to make mindfulness of gratitude a more regular daily practice. It tends to be for me something that I lean into only when I am feeling down.
Yeah.
And then sort of making note of the things that I'm grateful for really helps. There have been a few times in the last half dozen years where things have happened in the world that have made me feel really down. And my way of responding to that is always to reach out to my friends and remind them how much they mean to me and that I love them, because bringing to me, people are everything, right? I mean, my family, my friends, they're the most important things. And up until this week, my job, but not anymore. So bringing together, like, and I don't necessarily do it one-on-one. I'll often do it to a group and mm-hmm. send to one of my friend groups that I have like a little, text message group for. Just a reminder that I'm grateful for them. And I tend to do that only when I'm under stress. I really think I need to be more mindful of that when I'm not. How about you?
You know, I think it's an interesting point that you're making about friends and community. I think gratitude is a quiet acknowledgement of the whole. We are part of the bigger whole. You know, the entity of everything. I don't think you can sit in gratitude and not be interwoven with your friends and your family and your loved ones. I think that is what churns gratitude. Mm-hmm. I think that's part of the churning and the acceptance.
Like I just said a minute ago, sometimes I feel gratitude most when I'm under stress and I have to remind myself of the things I have good. And I think of it as sort of that analogy about the glass half full or half empty. Are you an optimist or a pessimist? It depends on how you see the glass. I kind of think the really more important thing is to always see the glass for what it is.
Yeah.
It's half empty and half full at the same time. So when I'm distressed, I see the things that distress me and I acknowledge them and I grieve over them or despair for them. But I also see the part of the glass that's full,
right,
and try to remind myself, okay, it's okay to be upset about what's missing, but acknowledge and be happy about what's there. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it, you're right. It is in conjunction with other feelings, for sure. No, gratitude is such an interesting thing because I had such a simplistic view of it when I was young. You know, we go through Thanksgiving, name all the things that we're thankful for. But it's an everyday way of being. And I'm very thankful for my family and financial status, all those things, the things I don't have to worry about. But I only have all of that because of those moments, those people, that community. It's because of them. It's because of what's out there. So I think that living with gratitude, I don't have to think about it so much. I mean, I'm sure I did at one point. But I think that also churns us feeling grateful for things.
I totally agree. I think there's a tendency in culture to sort of overlook that and to focus so much on, people can be very negative.
Right.
Even sometimes people who really have more to be thankful for than they recognize. But it's sort of like, and we talked about this in an earlier podcast, it's sort of like this notion of manifesting.
Mm-hmm.
If you think, the way you decide to think about things influences the way you see things.
Right.
And if you go into things with a mindset of being grateful for what you have, again, not minimizing that there may be things that you're not grateful for, and you shouldn't.
That's true.
Right. And you shouldn't ignore that, but or gloss over it. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But being mindful of the things or contemplating a mindful mindset about the things for which you are grateful makes your gratefulness expand.
Yes.
And then you see more and more things that you can be grateful for. You've talked about this before, but like that feeling of walking in the grass with your,
oh, yeah,
in your bare feet.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's actually something that can inspire a feeling of gratitude for the earth.
Right.
You know, and sometimes it could be as simple as that. Like when you're down, to go connect with the world, with nature.
Yeah.
It's a starting point for releasing some gratitude.
Yeah. Gratitude is so interesting. And it just lives. It's part of our being. I think about, of course, I was in the healthcare profession. Not that this doesn't happen in the legal profession, but in all the conversations I had with nurses and physicians and researchers, and, you know, I was at NIH quite a bit as well, not work-wise, but in talking to those individuals and finding out how they got there and why they got there, there's a story behind all of it.
Mm.
Something happened in their lives and they are giving back. They decided to go into that field because they had gratitude for something that happened, or maybe dismayed about something that happened and they want to change that. But I think about those healthcare workers and the people that I ran into, even researchers. They were there for a reason. And again, it's part of the bigger picture. We are such a small piece to this bigger picture. We are a small piece to a larger story,
mm-hmm,
that has its own wisdom.
You know, I don't have a thought immediately in mind of that sort of expression of gratitude from my professional life. But I will tell you one that really struck with me, which was a case that I worked on very early in my career. And it involved a young woman who unfortunately married a very violent man. And it culminated in an incident where he tried to kill her.
Wow.
And she very barely survived. And I was working with another prosecutor in my office to prosecute this gentleman for what he had done to her. And the thing that really struck me is the first time we invited her to come into the office to sit down and talk with us about it. She'd met with police detectives and so forth, but we had not met her. And so we had her come down to the office. And she came and she bought two loaves of zucchini bread that she had baked that morning, one for me and one for the other prosecutor that I was working with. And she said, "I just want to thank you all for being here and doing this for me." And I remember being really struck. And it's funny because until we had this conversation, I had kind of forgotten this incident. But I remember being really struck that here's this woman who had just suffered this horrific thing. And I won't get into the facts, but believe me, they were pretty horrific. She had just suffered this horrific experience. And her first response was to be appreciative of the fact that there were people there to help her through it. Instead of, you know, coming in distraught, crying, angry, she came in with gratitude.
Wow.
Which was really kind of amazing. I really was in awe of that, to be honest.
What a special person.
She was really
amazing. She got it.
Yeah. And she was only like 22 years old.
Oh, there's going to be a lot of stories like that too.
Yeah.
As well.
So let me ask you a question, Maryam.
Sure.
You are a healthcare professional and you've seen a lot. And, you know, listeners probably know this too, because I know we've talked about it before. You're like one of the most knowledgeable healthcare professionals I've ever known. What benefits do you see for people who cultivate a more grateful lifestyle or incorporate gratitude in their daily thinking, like consciously try to make that part of their persona?
Interesting. I do. I think there's mental health benefits in the mindset piece of it. And I also think there's physical benefits. The physical benefits for somebody living a life that cultivates gratitude and they see the big picture and they're living a grateful life, I think they sleep better at night. I think their stress levels are less. They're probably more energized to exercise and to do more and to interact with people more as well. That interaction of that feeling good and all those hormones of oxytocin, you know, serotonin, all those things. I think if you live a grateful life and you see, I'm going to use your expression as far as I'm seeing a cup half full, mm-hmm. I think there's benefits to that. So the mental health benefits also overlap. And that would be to feeling optimistic, to waking up in the morning and thinking that good things are going to happen. Almost the manifesting piece, because that is how you live in it. You live in that every day. So you would be surprised if something didn't go right, right? And we all come from different backgrounds. We all have different struggles. We all have different challenges. I'm not saying we don't. There's things that get me down, all of us down. But I think that if we have that piece of us that just lives in us with gratitude, we'll always see the positive side of that as well. So I think longevity is probably tied to that because you actually feel good enough to go exercise, to be active, to be involved. And you and I talk about this all the time. If you're in a good headspace, you want to be around people. You want to be around your friends. You want to feel that energy. And that does a lot to the physical body. So, I think it has a lot to do with mental health and physical health.
You know, and I also think there's a little bit of a pitfall that we've fallen into as a culture, and it's these little devices that we carry around everywhere that are our constant distraction.
Yeah.
Because I think being mindful of your mental state and deliberately cultivating a particular mental state in a fulsome way, not engaging in like spiritual bypassing where you're just like, I'm just going to be happy today. I'm not going to look at all the bad things. But if you really want to be mindful and sort of assess where you are and decide and choose consciously to focus on the things you're grateful for, you got to get off the phone.
Right.
Because the phone is a constant distraction.
Yeah.
And I think you have to connect with other people. You have to connect with your environment. You have to really be in the moment to live your life. And unfortunately, we don't do that very well anymore.
No. I mean, people are addicted to it. And I'm not saying I don't spend time. I do spend time on it. But I also have thought quite a bit about the word influencer because there's so many influences on social media and there's so many influencers. And I think about those individuals and how they're influencing. And then I think about, I'm 58 years old. I have some wisdom. I like most of the thoughts that are in my head. I want to influence myself. I want to spend time being introspective on what makes me tick and how I can be a better person for society, for others, for family. I think I'm in better control of being my own influencer than social media is. It's not that I don't enjoy social media. But no, I think I'll put myself in charge there.
I love that. I think that's brilliant, actually.
Aw, thank you.
No, I really do.
I think about it.
Yeah, I think that's great. I mean, I think you're onto something there. It's like we really do forget that we have the power to influence our own thinking because we're so distracted all the time.
They have nothing on us.
Yeah.
Leslie Ann, nothing.
I will say cute dog videos on TikTok too actually help, but I have a cute dog in the house. I could just look at her.
Like, I like looking at positive mindset stuff on social media as well. But like you were saying, people spend a lot of time, so you're going to get flooded with both. You can't just pick out, or there's not, I mean, you can pick out some, but you're still going to be influenced by both. And, you know, I'm not in your head. Not that I wouldn't want to see behind that curtain because I think it's something good, but I can imagine that you would be quite the influencer for yourself and for others. And I think you're doing that here now on our podcast as well.
Oh, thank you.
But yeah, no, it's interesting.
I do think there's something to be gained from shared experience and from talking to other people, but not through a device. It's the one-on-one thing, because it's like our conversations here. We, you know, and I'm sure people listening to this podcast know we must think about these things beforehand. We don't just come in totally cold, but we also don't really script this out.
No.
And it's the process of talking and having a conversation and connecting with someone that leads you into new thoughts and into new territory in your brain that you might not get to on your own. I don't think a 20-second clip on TikTok is going to get you there. It's the sustained conversation. So putting away the phone, engaging with other people, engaging with nature, that's a way to build a better mindset. But you had mentioned gratitude journals.
Yeah.
What else do you think people can do to sort of build a more grateful lifestyle?
Oh, gosh. You know, I always think nature's important. Mm-hmm. I think walking out and seeing nature and being in your own head, it's hard to walk even now in the leaves and not be grateful for the change of seasons.
Oh, my God. I love the change of seasons.
Right?
Yeah.
I do, too. I'm so fortunate to be in a place. I have gratitude for living in a place that has four seasons, truly. Journaling, you know, I just started journaling. It's not so much a gratitude journal. It's more stoic than that. But I do think journaling's good. But I also think how to cultivate a gratuitous life, is what we are talking about. It's the conversations, it's the connections that we have with others. Like I said earlier, I don't know that I can think of one thing that I'm grateful for, that some body or some experience that included someone didn't foster that. So I think really tightening your friendships, your relationships, your family, I think that's important. And I mean, family, wow, that's a big word. The dynamics are all over the place.
Hell yeah.
I think of Mother Teresa's quote, often actually, that, you know, love and family, love starts at home. And I think that's a great place to start, just nurturing those relationships, because they do bring positive feelings and hormones and so forth. Not everybody's as fortunate to be able to do that. I get it. But the other thing I think can foster gratitude is putting yourself in populations and helping and volunteering. It's perspective as well. It's hard to go into a population that needs you and maybe has a need that you don't have, and you not realize how grateful you are that you don't need that.
Mm-hmm.
So I always think volunteering, and it could be as easily as shoveling snow at your neighbor's, you know, next door, this elderly person, that all fosters gratitude. And not just for them, but for you, that you have the ability to do that, to do something for somebody else, fosters gratitude. It's not always the receiving end.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think prayer life is a piece too, because I think people, when they pray, and you know, when you go to, if you're a person who goes to church regularly, and I do, there's always that part of the, you know, the prayers where like you're asked to pray prayers of thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And it's stone cold silent. Nobody ever says anything. Now, maybe there are people in their hearts that are expressing their gratitude,
right,
but they're much more willing to speak up in public when it comes to, do you have anything you want to pray for? Right. Anything you want to ask of God or of whatever you conceive God
to be. That's interesting, Leslie Ann.
You know, people are really a little bit more reticent to say, hey, thank you because I had a great week, or thank you because my family's healthy, or thank you because it's, you know, there was a beautiful full moon last night, or whatever. I think we take a lot for granted, and remembering in your internal conversation and dialogue with whatever higher being you worship, remembering to be grateful for what you've been given just in the simple beauty of the world is kind of a big piece of it.
You know, you had said earlier in the podcast, you were talking about like telling a friend or telling a family member you're thankful for them. It's easy to say, well, it's not easy, but we try to tell, I know I do, and I know you do, and a lot of people I know do, that they love somebody because they're so afraid of the loss. We never know what tomorrow brings. So I try to let my friends and family know how much I love them. But I love the fact that you brought up that meaningful piece as well, how thankful you would be for that, or you are for that individual. And I'm going to try and actually do that more. Not just I love somebody, but how much and why I'm so thankful for them being in my life. That's a beautiful piece.
There was a moment this week where some things were happening and I was kind of stressed, and my son texted me out of the blue and he said, Mom, I was looking at the news and I saw this and I knew that it would be something that would stress you out. And I just wanted to say, it's going to be okay.
Aww.
And in that moment, I was so grateful for having a son that knows his mother so well that he could intuit across the continent, that was something that would concern me and be there to offer words of support. That's the kind of thing that I think we overlook sometimes, but wow, that's a beautiful thing.
You know, it is. And you telling that story, I'm also thinking, I do know your son, the person that you're talking about. And when we talk about how things are interwoven and gratitude is not always receiving, but it's giving as well, I am sure he also felt gratitude in being able to give that to you and how you took that. And that gave him peace. And that's the other thing. I think living in gratitude as much as we can. I know it's not always easy. People have a lot going on. But I think it also allows for a life of peacefulness. You know, I really think that it can center us in a way that brings us peace.
So I think the real challenge is to not look at gratitude as just sort of cheerful optimism, a sort of forced state of positivity, but take it deeper and use it as a vehicle for enhancing or promoting your own personal growth. Try to look at the world with more gratitude in your heart for the things that are good and see where that leads you. See if it takes you to deeper connections with other people, to connections with things in your life that actually are more positive, and to just feeling lighter in the world because you can see the part of the glass that's full.
Wow, I like that. I think we end there. So for the listeners, we challenge you to find gratitude in your daily life and share your stories on social media. I think that's part of it as well, is definitely living that life, talking about that life on a daily basis. You can find us at AmericanMidsters.com. Thanks for joining us.